that's Janice, that's why that monk in the restaurant in San Jose. Remember, we went to the restaurant in San Jose last year, and we walked in there at 11 o'clock. There's one monk and his two disciples sitting in the restaurant at 11 o'clock in the morning. Okay, great. The Vietnamese monks and nuns don't eat until afternoon. Okay? So it's rare to see a monk eating in the middle of probably his breakfast or something. 11 o'clock right there. Where was he? He's sitting, you think? Remember? Were you there?
I can't remember. Was I there?
No.
She was
there. Huh? Was she? Okay. She and Amda was there.
Oh, so
what
was the last trip?
Yeah, maybe, yeah, something like that. Anyway, what was hitting, Janice? You forgot already?
We were sitting, the doors right there was on the left.
Okay, he's sitting right in the middle of a restaurant. Okay? The moment I walked in there, I looked at the first glimpse of, oh, I'm not impressed. You know why? Because he was showing up. He was imposing his will on others. Speaking and imposing will, so that's what happens to us. Some of us who have a little kung fu, as soon as we have kung fu, that's what we do. We impose our will on others. Okay, so by the way, for your information, I got something from called Times Up, so from Vicky recently, and she said her sister passed away last Monday. Well, this Monday, last Monday, okay? And she asked for a rebirth black, and her sister died at the age of 45. So speaking of rebirth, you never know when's your turn, okay? Oh.
Was she sick or she died accident?
It's not clear. She didn't mention. Vicky didn't mention it. To try to get more information, Vicky is like twisting her arm. And my mom has been, and this is what she says, I don't know if you can see that. My mom has been pretending that she's fine, but she fell down the steps at home. She called me today and told me about it because the bruises on her chest and body. I'm very concerned about her. Very worried about her. Okay? So I set up the plaque for her and I said, accept my condolences for your loss. I said, that's kind of early, isn't it? Dying at the age of 45? Okay. And my comment is, good thing your mom didn't get more seriously injured. Falling on the stairs is pretty scary. Old people tend to have brittle hips and can break them pretty easily through falls. Yeah. So if I was trying to tell her, it could be worse. Okay, but here's the real message. Instead of worrying, please recite the Buddha's name until you stop worrying. Especially do not call her or go near her if you worry. That kind of energy from someone of your kung fu level is not good for her. Make sure to think positive and be cheerful when near her. Okay? And then this is her reply. Thank you for helping me out. I appreciate it. Thank you for your sympathy. My sister lives her life. I hope she learned something. Now she's ready to move on. The standard reply, I guess, ready to move on. That's what everyone says. When you're not busy, could you explain to me why the kung fu level affecting people? I tell you this, I'm strongly affecting others. She's the same level as that monk. Her Iyana. Okay? I say, please elaborate, and I'm strongly affecting others. think it's an elaboration of my graceful elaboration. She says, I can change all those people's mood. My reply is that I can give you generality, but more interested in the details of your experiences. I take the time to tell you your detailed experiences, but I'd like to know more details for my own education too. And here's her reply. Would you believe me if I give you details? It's like miracle happens any day. Animals listen to me when I talk to them by voice or thought. People around me listen to me and do it my way. Sometimes I can feel what other people are feeling. When I miss someone, I thought of them and I know of what their feelings.
Spiritual penetration?
For someone who does not believe in all this crap. That's what the sutra lecture explains to you. From third on, you're talking about the realm of spiritual penetration. Second dhyana on is spiritual penetration already. The third and the fourth and so on is just like you're talking about vikkhana. So that's why all these people, when they reach third, for example, these monks and nuns, they reach third, they get caught with the same thing. I remember last week I explained about arrogance. That's it. That's one manifestation of arrogance. Okay. So monks and nuns are easily caught in the same thing. And then the other thing is money. You know, so it's like we tend to find it convenient as an excuse to tell you that you give us more money so that we can build a bigger temple so that we can help more people. Okay? Nothing wrong with big temples. Something wrong with your insisting on a big temple. You see the difference? You understand the difference? With men, if you have blessings to, and you have the reason to have a big temple, yes, it's going to happen. If you have no real reason for a big temple, what's the point of getting a big temple for? You see? And the excuse we usually come up with is that then more people know about the temple, then more people know about Mahayana, more people know about Pure Man, then more people will take advantage of them. I will tell you this. I prefer to have a group like yourself who are intent on cultivating and working in your kung fu rather than having a big temple where a lot of people come, like hundreds of people come, and they listen half-heartedly for an hour. For those kinds of people, you need to entertain them. Okay? You cannot tell them too much. Because you tell them too much, you tell them, oh, you're supposed to hurt, you're supposed to bear, you're supposed to take it. Okay. It's tough enough to work, put in a week's worth of work, of hard work. Now on the weekend you go to the temple and you have to even work harder. It doesn't make sense. Right? And that's what most people don't like. They don't like to hear that it takes more work to get out of it. Okay. Are you still tired? Are you still drained like as usual or not anymore? Can I tell you the truth now? You were dying last year. You were killing yourself. If you commute 2 hours, your kind of commute was killing you. I couldn't tell you that back then. You were in for big time diseases. Because when you're draining your system like that, in the Kung Fu level, it's just like a reservoir. Every day, we all come with a certain level of reservoir of qi, of energy. Okay? And every day we use it in our daily life, at work. And you make sure you replenish it. So you use it, you go home, you rest, and you replenish it. Right? What happened in your case is that your usage rate was much higher than your replenishing rate. And therefore your reserve keeps on going lower and lower, and doesn't take long for you to become tired. Okay? You're constantly tired. That's the symptom. Okay? And that's very unhealthy. I used to commute like you do right now. And after a year, I couldn't take it. I said, no, this is killing me. Every day I would exercise like walk, get, okay, and so on. I still couldn't take it. And the yoga and all this stuff. How's your stress level nowadays?
It's not that, I mean, I don't feel.
You don't feel at all. You remember what, 5 years ago, I saw you? When you went to Japan with your family and Pete and his daughter, I looked at you, your wife, and I said, this guy is killing himself. You were too stressed out. Way too stressed out. Okay? Last year, no change after 4 years. And you cut it down to around 60-70% at least this year. By now. That's why it's more manageable. Okay? This is what people don't want to hear. You have to work hard to overcome your problems, because no one can do it for you. Okay? If you want me to fix it for you, I can fix it for you for now only. But as soon as you walk away from here, you're gonna drain yourself again. You see the problem? It's not a one-time deal. It's an ongoing, it's a lifestyle, it's a mindset. It's an approach. Okay? Sure, of course, you know, if you need to replenish, I can replenish for you like that. But then, you know, if you don't know how to use your energy, use your resources, it's going to keep on draining much quicker than you replenish it. No matter how quickly you replenish, you're going to drain it again. That's what happened with the monk in San Jose. He doesn't know how to use his energy. So he has all these outflows. So we ask him for help, I help him heal him with his sicknesses and help him feel better. As soon as he used it, and then he lost it all of it again. And he turned to me and said, doesn't work. What can he say? Okay? So the first rule is that you learn to use your resources, to manage your resources. And that comes with Kung Fu. Okay? And over time, the more Kung Fu you have, the more you become aware of your drainages, of your outflows. You learn to limit it. Stress is a very severe form of outflow. Very severe. What it means is that you allow others to dictate the pace of your life. That's what is happening. Okay? And if you shut them out, then you're not keeping up with them. Right? So you have to move your Kung Fu to a level where you don't need to shut them out. You can move at their pace, but they are no longer able to control and command your resources. That's why you're no longer stressed. You're no longer stressed now. Because you're at the same pace as before, but they are no longer in control. You are in control. Okay? I know about stress. I went for my graduate degree and it nearly killed me too. So, yeah. Stress things, you know, those brown spots appear in your body, never happened to you. It's that's kind of deadly competition, the intellectuals. I've been through those. And you know what? The silly thing, folks, is that I look at those Nobel laureates, the big shots, I look at a bunch of them. You know what's their Kung Fu level? The highest I saw is an Indian fellow Nobel Prize winner in economics. Fourth Niana. That's it. So it's not that impressive. Anyway, this is Vicky's closing. He said, my worst leaders go home early today for Good Friday and would like for us to really leave the building. We have to go. Okay, bye now. Don't bother me anymore.
So if she said don't bother me.
Well, Vicky, she's Vicky, you know. Yeah, I mean, she's gonna, you know, do whatever she feels like doing. You can't tell her what to do. So I tried three times. Said, tell me more, because you want me to spend time explaining things to you, and you're not willing to spend time explaining things to me first? I guess that's why she calls me Shufu, because I'm supposed to work harder than she does. Okay. Any other questions? Anyway, does it answer your question, or you still have more? It's just two things: the fame and the money. Okay. And the food is the thing, Randy, but it's not that good of a test, because the food. I know that Hung Shuo from that Venmo, Hung Shuo, on weekends go to his temple. It's full of food. The Vietnamese, you know, they go there, they bring all kinds of foods, you know, offering. And you look at Hung Shuo and you go, Hung Shuo is really enjoying himself. You know what? It's an act. I'm telling you right now, it's an act.
What's an act?
Yes. I'm sure he's like that. So you can't tell. I'm sure he's a good moral advisor, but it's too far from him. Okay?
Sometimes they do that so that the people feel good about the offerings.
You know? Yeah, they do that. Yeah. But also another reason, his real Chinese name is Hung Shu. Hung Shu is what? Shu is what?
Real.
Real. Truthful. His Dharma to be truthful. Okay? And his godly monks used to make fun of him to me and said, this guy, he kisses up to Shifu. He would do anything to get Shifu's approval back then. Okay? That's why Shifu calls him Hung Shu. Okay? You have to be truthful. You don't need my admiration. Okay? But what happened is that as I talked to this guy in Canada who's after his, who thinks that he's located the next patriarchs already in China. So he goes all out. Can I show you that? Or would you like to know? I said, this is the Vietnamese. Maybe Kim can translate it for you. At least I want to show you something that's real. It's not always a figment of my imagination, okay?
Did you know that Hong Shir said that Shufu said that they were teacher and disciple from life after life, many lives now?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. That guy is something else. That guy is something else. And I love him to death. I used to hate him to death, now I love him to death. That's the kind of person he is. Okay? Maybe Kim can translate this for you, but at least see. Okay. Hey, close up. Can you see? Can you read it? Okay. Anyway, this guy here is a long time disciple of Venerable Shenhua in Canada, and his cohorts think they located the second patriarchs in China. And they told me, yeah, come over here. I'm inviting you over here. And so I said, okay, you want me to come? I come. But by the way, since you asked me, I cannot not tell you. So I said, you know, I really don't think this guy is a second patriarch. And he's been going back and forth. Because this guy is a hot shot. Yeah. He holds a... He holds real estate property under his name for his BRBA, but he's respected and so on. And I'm a low-life monk, but I'm the last one of my shifu's generation, my teacher's generation, and therefore, and on that monk as well. So besides, I'm a reject, therefore they don't take me seriously. So anyway, I try to tell him, saying, you go through all the expenses, and you know, all the Han monks and nuns, the Kung Fu is incredible. You know, you don't have to go too far. You are a role disciple. You should be supporting these monks. By the way, there's a Vietnamese monk, a very good one, that we finally located. This guy knows about. And I said, I've been concerned by this monk. I have great respect for this guy, but I heard that he left the DRBA, and I'm concerned that he's returned to late life. It would be such a big shame. I heard rumors he returned to late life. And I said, I didn't believe the rumor because for his level that I saw 13 years ago, there's no way he would return to late life. I finally found out he hasn't returned to late life. He's still a monk. He's living quietly, cultivating somewhere. Okay. I said, you should be going to this place and make offerings to him and support him so that, because he's a Hung disciple. He's real. You guys are Goal, therefore you should be supporting him. We are Goal, we should be supporting him. And you don't need to go to China to find, so far to reach out for a good moral advisor. I was trying to tell him, beat around the bush and tell him, this is a phony second patriarch. But I couldn't tell him correctly. Okay? But he wouldn't believe me. This is a phony guy, this guy here. It used to be the city of 10,000 Buddhists too. Patriarchs don't call themselves patriarchs. They don't. They don't have to explain to you who they are. They don't need a piece of paper. They don't need you to know who they are. Okay. And this guy goes around telling people he's the next patriarch.
Next patriarch.
Anyway, I don't know why I got this. So, anyway, I'm sure. And so this guy here, the reason I brought this guy up is this guy here looks down on Hengshu. He says, I don't respect Hengshu. So I dropped him a hint and said, Hengshu, why Shifu calls him Hengshu? He calls him Hengshu because Hengshu is truthful. But in truthful, there is falseness. True and false are all in there. He didn't get it. I was trying to make a mistake, I'm sure. If you come to him with falseness, all you can see from him is falseness. You come to him truthfully, you can see the truth from the Shura coming out. That's a state.
That's interesting. Sometimes the name that they give means that you are like that, but it also can mean that you should strive to become like that.
It's
just the opposite. Sometimes it does not exactly. It's like, it says you're black, it's white.
In his Dharma, he struggled with that for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Okay? And during his struggle, all of you, all of us, looked at him and said, this guy has so many faults. Okay? And that's a problem when you try to judge a teacher. There's no way for you to know. You've been seeing this guy here all these years. You see him become a monk, become a Buddhist monk, and become a monk, and greedy for food, greedy for adoration from you, greedy for little small thing gifts you give them. Okay? Of course we really, we're still working on it. Okay? But once we pass it, it's more for you to know. Okay? And that's that's why this guy here, he still has all these prejudices. So anytime he sees some show, what does he see? He sees a monk with a lot of faults. That's all he sees, he still sees. Yeah, you guys know that this year, all these years, and the Shu finally made it.
Yeah, but who are we? We're lay people. How can we judge a left one person? That's like, you know.
And that's besides the point. That's the final point I want to tell you today, because it's going to take a long, long time. You can bring it up again in the future with no advisors. The point is that you cannot recognize with no advisor. All you can do, okay, because what happens is the good known advisor recognizes you. The teacher recognizes the students, not the other way around. If you think you can see your teacher, you cannot learn from that person. Okay? Therefore, what are your chances? Your chances are that you come with a respectful mind, first of all. That's the greatest weakness. Isn't it, Randy?
You try to say I'm arrogant?
Yes.
I'm probably the most arrogant person in this room.
And that's why how you perceive at the VIP temples. You know that. You didn't realize it. People look at you and hear what they say. They say, oh, Randy is a very good Dharma protector, but he's aloof. What they mean is Randy is arrogant. And arrogant is not bad. We all have to be arrogant. We all arrogant, aren't we? Okay. The only drawback about arrogance is that when you come seeking for instructions, okay, the teacher, the good old advisor, look at you and say, "You're not going to be. You will not follow instructions. Why should I give you instructions? Instructions are not to be wasted. Instructions are big use of your blessings. If I give you instructions, you don't follow instructions, okay? You're suffering huge losses in your blessings. That's one. So when you go to near the Triple Jewel, okay, you have to learn to be respectful. Okay? Doesn't matter because you know. 99.9% of the time, you can't. Those are not good advisors. Okay, but because of your being respectful, because of your patience, you create a track record, folks. So the real good no advisors, one look at you and say, "Ah, this person, this time has arrived." Okay. Because when you're patient, you're still showing you're being respectful, you patiently wait for that time, that's your part of your cultivation. Okay? That's one. And you change a lot, right? Recently. That's why I bring it up. Okay? For example, you chant better than last year. Much better. So that's what happens in cultivation. You go through all these things and the good Lord advisor can look at you and see your evolution. Okay? You for yourself don't see it. It still takes you some time before you see it. But all these adjustments are happening. Okay? There's no need to understand. Just do it. So the thing is that you need to be respectful, very respectful. That's all you can do. And then the mindset is you're always seeking for instructions, seeking for advices. If you don't like that, then you have nothing to worry about. Does it make sense? Don't worry about, I've got to follow, I've got to find the best good-know advisors, I've got to do so. There's so many of good-know advisors out there. I will tell you, Frank, personally, Master Shenhua is my good no advisor. Okay, the first one. But he's not the only one. Because you know why? Because he doesn't know everything either. Didn't he say when he only knows half of the Buddha's knowledge? That means one half he doesn't know. He wasn't lying. Half is a huge amount of information. I'm lucky that I don't know one tenth of what Master Shen Hua knows. Okay? That's how vast it is. And yet, within my one tenth, within my ignorance, I can follow him for a long, long time, right? But what happens is that when my time comes, okay, then whatever Master Shen Hua doesn't understand, the other people who understand will come and teach you. They're not gonna go and say, Shen Hua doesn't know. You better follow me because Shen Hua is not good enough. And you compare to me, he's we all the same. Okay? So he's gonna teach you and then he disappears and say, go back to your master. Okay? And he asks him what he's doing. He's also helping teach the masters as well. Because your master will look at you. Ah, see, he's struggling. I didn't go out and fix it for her, and now it's been fixed. You see, it's very, very involved, very, very fascinating. It's even good no advisors also need to have good no advisors as well. So it's a chain reaction. Okay, because the mindset then that is that you keep on seeking for instruction, seeking for a teacher, okay? Because, see, that's why the American model also failed as well, because you think you can figure things out because you're smarter. Smarter only a small part of the picture, okay? It's just like, just that you have to follow instructions for you to go beyond the wall, to see they have a better idea of what's behind the wall. That's the nature of the instructions. You follow instructions, say, go past the door and take a look. You're not willing to follow instructions, when you never understand. Never. Okay? So that's what you do. You seek a good old advisor. And they'll come to you. Like I told you, I was stuck big time for a couple of weeks on the teaching, Mahayana teaching, several years ago. And the sixth patriarch came and explained it to me. And it took, that the whole lesson took less than 2 minutes. And that's how fascinating it is. Okay. Does it help a little? Any other questions?
So does your blessing, your Baba blessing, is linked to have the one word on your advisor?
It's the same. It's all the same. It's all the same. What happened is that It's not the same, because what I mean by the same is that when you talk Mahayana, I'm referring to the proper Dharma. Okay? So for example, look at Randy. Okay? Randy has been planting blessings with Master Shen Hua's Dharma all these years. Okay? And he was going for blessings more than wisdom, right? Am I correct? And then one day he decided, all these years I now have more interest in a little bit more interest in cultivation. No one explains to me. Let me go try out this obscure guy who claims to be Master Shen Hua's disciple, who teaches Chan, because no one else claims to be teaching Chan down here. So he came to my class and they tried it for a while. Wow, this guy talks funny. And he brought his sons, and I give you an example. The younger one, RJ, he doesn't cultivate. He doesn't want to cultivate. He doesn't want to, he just wants to have a little bit of fun. Right? If always there, his brother, because he looks up at his big brother, and if his big brother thinks that he wants to go give this monk a try, so he follows along. So he looks at him and says, you gotta say something to entertain him, otherwise he's not gonna come back. He's not coming back. Yeah. Okay. Now look at him. The reason that you know that he's a third right now, really, he can go out there and no one can even bully him around anymore because he's that strong without any cultivation. How is it possible? Huh? Blessings. What kind of blessings? The blessings, the kind of blessings that granted, that is, has to be with Mahayana, right? When did R.J. plant his blessings? So where did his blessings come from? Ask Randy, I don't know.
Yes,
right. From his dad. His dad has been giving him blessings like crazy. Randy is extremely protective of his children. You know, he may not give them a lot of money and a lot of, on the surface, a lot of support, but whatever they need, he's going to give to them. So the son is interested in speed, and what is it? He said, oh, I want more. That takes a lot of blessings. It came from him. Am I correct, Randy? That's your mode? No? Okay.
Could be,
you never know. Well, it's one of those mysteries in Mahayana. So you see, the kind of blessing you plant is, it matters. So he planted blessings with Master Shenhua and Dharma. My Dharma came from Master Shenhua, so it's the same source, the same kind of Dharma. Okay? Whereas if you were to use a blessing, let's say, in Silai or somewhere else, the response will be different. Am I making sense to you? Does it answer your question? What? If you put money into big bank, Citigroup bank, which is not a good idea, okay? You can't go to the Washington Mutual and withdraw your money. It has to be the same system. Does it help? Okay. Let's wrap it up. It's lunchtime. 11:30 as usual.
Question?
Huh? Final question. Okay, final question. Final question. Yes. What is it?
I remember you mentioned about like the first ground, second ground bodhisattvas often goes to like a Christian's heavens or like.
Yeah.
So if they work there, are they planting the Christian's blessings instead of Mahayana blessings?
What happened is a good question. Because why do you want to go plant Christian blessings? Why not? Because the bodhisattvas are different from us. Their job, their nature of the cultivation is to help others. See, you're helping yourself right now. The bodhisattvas are enlightened already. So they need to create affinities with others, need to give. You create affinities by giving. It's not the ways, okay? There's only one way to create affinities, by giving. Okay? So, these bodhisattvas, for them to continue with their practice, they need to give. first to the people, okay, to those group of people. They have, you know, to create affinities with them. And that's part of Mahayana Dharma. They do it because of the instruction from their shufus. You see, as a subtlety, you guys don't know about it. Because at some point in the cultivation, the master says, go to the Christian to help him out. So he went and, you know, spent lifetimes after lifetime trying to help the Christians. So what does he do? He follows instructions, that Mahayana instruction. So it's Mahayana blessings. You see? We still say, you externalist, you female, you ugly, you fat. You know, for them, it's all the same. Thing, so we need to really be done by 3 o'clock and start.